I'm pulling in my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time to drive to work. Okay, so today is the start of a series in Amsterdam, and MagicCon in Amsterdam. I did a talk about all the cards I've ever made that got banned or restricted. Because there was a lot of cards to cover and only had an hour to do so, I went really quickly through it. But I thought that might be fun for the podcast is, I think there's a much longer version of the stories that I think I would like to share. And so basically, this is my talk that I gave in Amsterdam. Although I should say, I'm recording this before I gave the talk, at least this early part. So I haven't given it yet. But I know I'm going to. I've been preparing for it. And so I'm going to give the longer, drawn-out version of this talk. So if you enjoy the talk should be on video online. If you enjoy the talk and said, you know, Mark went really fast through some of those, that's what today is for. Today is to go a little bit slower. Okay, so let me explain. So the talk was called Getting the Band Together. And let me explain the premise of it. So Richard Garfield obviously designed Alpha and Arabian Nights. In between those two sets, I believe he has had 38 cards banned or restricted. And Richard, for a while, held the record for the most banned or restricted cards. But I eventually passed him and continued to pass him. And since I keep making cards, more cards I've made have gotten banned or restricted. So anyway, I currently hold the record for having designed the most banned or restricted cards. So I thought it'd be fun to talk about the design of all these cards that I made that got banned or restricted. So the first thing I need to explain, I get this a little in my talk, is who designed what card can get fuzzy at times. Multiple people can work on the same card. Somebody can make a card. Other people can tweak the card. There's parallel designs where two people make the same card. And there's just general memory issues where you remember something, but someone else remembers it differently. So this list are the cards that I believe I had a majority hand in the design. Not that I designed all of them solo. Not that these are the ones that I believe I had my hand in, there's cards that got banned that I had an influence in, but I'm like, oh, someone else made it and I tweaked it a little bit. So I'm not counting those. It is more than possible, in fact, quite possible, that some of the cards that I'm claiming here today as cards that I had a major hand in, that somebody else thinks they had the major hand in. And there's cards that I probably aren't including that I probably did have a major hand in, but I don't remember. So I just want to sort of apologize to anybody ahead of time. I made this list based on my memory. My memory could be faulty in some things. Or, like I said, there's a lot of reasons why different people can remember things differently. A really, really common one, like I said, is multiple people design the same card and turn it in. And then like, hey, I made that card. Like, well, I too made that card. So that's why sometimes also, multiple people can think they made the same card, because they did. Okay, so what I'm going to do today is I'm going to go in chronological order, talking about every card that I ever had that was banned or restricted in any format, and talk about how the card got made. Note that I'm just talking about the first time a card got onto a banned or restricted list. So if the same card got banned in multiple formats over time, I'm just talking about the very first time it got banned or restricted. For those who don't know, banned means the card is not allowed in the format at all. Restricted means you can have only one copy in the format. Vintage, which is the format that has kind of all the cards mostly, is where we tend to restrict things, because the idea of vintage is you can play with all the cards. So if a card gets broken vintage, it's like, well, you can only have one of it usually. There are a few things banned in vintage, but less for power level, more like that's a dexterity card, stuff like that, or an anti card. Okay, so we're going to start from the very beginning. So remember, I start working at Wizards full time in October of 1995. But we have to make cards. They have to get made. They have to come into the public. So my first banning actually happens in July of 1997, which actually is within 2 years. I think the gap that we have now for making Magic, we used to make them a little bit quicker back in the day than we do now. Magic goes through a lot more steps, and there's a lot more goes on. So the first card that got banned was from, I think, Mirage, I believe. Squandered Resources. So Squandered Resources is an enchantment. It costs one black and one green, and it allows you to sacrifice a land. And if you do, you can add one mana to your mana pool equal to a color that land could produce. So this is, I will provide some terminology as I go through these. This is what's known as an engine card. And what I mean by an engine card is you put something into it, you get something out of it. In this particular case, you have to sack a land. So your resource in is you're forever losing a land. And the thing you're getting out of it is you're getting a mana. So you're trading a land for a mana. Now note, this doesn't require you to tap the land. So I could tap the land for its normal mana and then sack it for extra mana. And so that allows me to get two mana out of every land, given that land's still gone. But as it turns out, the ability to quickly get extra mana, there's a bunch of different things that cause problems. There's some through lines, I would say, in banned and restricted cards. One is mana. Getting extra mana is very, very powerful. Mana is, I mean, the main resource of Magic is mana. It gates the game. It determines when you can cast cards. So the ability to cast cards quicker than you should is pretty powerful. And so cards like that definitely can cause issues. This particular Squandered Resources was part of what was called a Proffer's Bloom deck. Proffer's Bloom was another card I made in Mirage. And anyway, it was a combo deck. Probably Mike Long was the most famous one for playing it. He won a Pro Tour playing it. It's a combo deck. In fact, it's one of the first really powerful combo decks. And all the pieces of the combo deck, mostly, all the main pieces, were in either Mirage or in Visions. And the reason, so this was banned in Mirage Block. And the reason was this combo deck, Proffer's Bloom, was really powerful. So I think we decided to get rid of Squandered Resources. I think the idea was this was the thing that fueled the mana. And it was a card that really, if you were using it, you were kind of doing things you shouldn't do. One of the things is I really like making engine cards. I'm a Johnny, right? I like making weird and wacky deck building. Engine cards just allow you to do lots of fun, weird, wacky things. So I like building them. They also have a tendency to be broken. I mean, not every engine card is broken, but the ability to transfer one thing into another, especially without mana. Like this particular thing says, I can get extra mana without spending any... Well, obviously, spending mana to get mana, I guess, is slightly... I mean, there are cards that you spend mana to get mana. But anyway, this card lets you get sort of free mana. And yeah, I mean, the idea when we made it was, well, you're losing access to land, you know, you're losing future mana, you're sacrificing lands. But the end result is you can do things where, you know, sometimes you're using the mana you get to get more lands, so you're not even going down lands necessarily. And just the ability to sort of get all the extra mana you need when you need it, especially later turns where you have a bunch of mana, just was, anyway, super powerful. So that is my first banned card, Squandered Resources. The interesting thing people ask me, I should answer the question, which is, how do I feel when my cards get banned? Is that a badge of honor, a badge of shame? And the note I basically give is, I think if we're banning too many cards, obviously we're failing. But if we ban no cards, I think that also means there's a problem. It means we're not pushing boundaries. I think the idea is we really want to be pushing things and trying things, and we want to be careful not to push things too much. We don't want to ban too many things. There are definitely times where we ban more cards than we should, and that was a sign of problems on our end. But I think if we made Magic and never, ever had to ban a card, I think that means we really aren't experimenting in places that would probably be worth experimenting. Not every experimentation ends in cards being banned, but some do. And anyway, I do think, I mean, I've made a lot of cards. I mean, the reason I have the record probably more than anything else is I just have been here. So I've been here longer than anybody else. And I also, early Magic, we made a lot more broken cards than we make now because we have a much more robust team to stop us from doing that. in the early days, there's just a lot more broken cards than early Magic. And early Magic only had a few people making cards. So I made a lot of the early cards. I mean, Mike Elliott and I probably made the vast majority of cards from the first, you know, I don't know, 6 to 8 years of Magic. And so I have a lot of broken cards. Okay, so that next we got to December 1998. This card is banned and restricted. So when I say banned and restricted, it means banned in every format, restricted in Vintage. Banned and restricted in Standard, Extended, Legacy, and Vintage. The card is Windfall. So Windfall is 2 and a blue. Each player discards their hand and then draws a card equal to cards equal to the cards in their hand. Obviously, we had messed around with this in Red with Winds of Change, but here the universality and it being in blue, and there's a lot of component pieces to it. And the other thing is Urza's Saga block was a pretty broken block. There was a lot going on. And this card allowed you to make pretty big swaths. Like, it lets you draw. So, I said getting mana is a problem. Well, another problem we tend to have is drawing cards. It's another area. And this card, for 3 mana, often lets you access a lot of other cards. And if you were trying to combo certain things together, the idea of trading your hand for a whole new hand was quite powerful. And the reason this came about is one of the things that I was... The early time of me at Wizards... one of the things I was very fascinated with was the color pie. And early, like Richard, when he made Magic, made the color pie, and the color pie is awesome. But there was a lot of looseness in the early days, that everything was sort of just flavored card by card. And I realized, I mean, one of the through lines of early Magic is we needed to streamline things so that it didn't work that all decisions were made on a card by card basis. That was not great. The rules were done that way. There's a lot of stuff that was done that way. And I really wanted to say, oh, colors need to have strengths and weaknesses. But if every set we sort of treat the colors differently, then we just, there are no strengths or weaknesses. You know, if green can do that here, but do this in a different set, like, you know. And so I really started trying to draw the line. I also was very conscious of where are we doing things that can exist somewhere else? And the idea of trading your hand, it, you know, given the first version of it, I mean, I guess we had done, there is a Time Spiral, which lets you exchange your hand for 7 new cards. Obviously, also broken, so. I mean, this one doesn't let you draw up to 7. Time Spiral let you draw up to, not Time Spiral, sorry. Time Twister, you discard your hand and draw up to 7. So there it's just all, like if I empty my hand, now I get to draw 7 cards. Windfall doesn't let you to draw cards you don't have, but it does let you trade in your hand very easily. And anyway, the thing I'm trying to say is I did a lot of color correcting, I'll call it, or color changing, where I would take effects and say, you know, this effect really either should be in this other color or could be in this other color. Like, for example, I loved the card Mana Flare, but I'm like, you know, that really should be a green card, not a red card. And it took me, actually, way longer than you would think to make the green version of Mana Flare. I mean, I eventually did, but anyway, there's a lot of me doing that. Windfall is me doing that, of trying to shift something and put it in the color that I like. So, okay, next up, also in December of 1998, banned and restricted in Legacy and Vintage, Stroke of Genius, X2U, target player draws X cards. So there's a card called Brain Geyser in Alpha, X Blue Blue, one of Richard's banned 38 cards. It was too good. So another thing that we try to do, we always try to do, but I did a lot of this in early Magic, is what we call power fixing. Oh, Brain Geyser is a fun card, but it's a little too good. Okay, could we make the card but slightly more balanced? And so Brain Geyser is X blue blue. So essentially, it's I have to spend some amount of mana, and then for that amount of mana -2, I draw that many cards. What if we add 1 extra mana to that? We felt 3 blue mana was a little, at the time, we thought it was a little bit much. So instead of going X blue, 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 we did X 2 blue. So the idea is it costs 1 more mana. You're paying an extra mana. Essentially, I'm playing 3 mana to be able to X draw cards for X, right? As it turns out, this is often the case in our power balancing things. The less powerful version is still very powerful. a lot of the cards you're going to hear me talk about during the series are, I took a card that was crazy broken and made it less broken, but still not broken. And Trick of Genius is a perfect example of that. Drawing X cards for X's is very powerful. Okay. Now we get to March of 1999. These cards were banned and restricted in Standard, Extended, Legacy, and Vintage. So there are six cards. So this is the first time. Well, I mean, I guess in December of 1998, I had two cards banned, not all in the same format. This is the first time I had six cards banned, and they were all over the place. But this is the part where I'm doing a lot more design work at this point. So there's just a lot of cards that I'm making. So first up is Dream Halls. Dream Halls is three blue. It's an enchantment. It was inspired by Force of Will. What it says is that you can cast any spell for free by discarding a card of the same color as that spell. So this card, I would say, is an engine card. It allows you to turn cards in your hand into mana for intense purposes. And not just one mana, multiple mana. If I have a card that costs six to cast, I can discard a card of the same color for six mana, essentially. This card is mega busted. I was inspired by Force of Will. There's a whole cycle of cards and alliances, what we call the pitch spells, where in order to cast a spell, you can pitch a spell the same color. The point there in pitch spells, and not that pitch spells aren't very powerful, is you have a lot of say on what, like, you determine what are pitch spells, right? I'm like, okay, these are the effects I'm choosing to make a pitch spell out of. Dream Halls just turns any card into a pitch card. And that's one of its biggest dangers is there are cards that are very expensive that are hard to cast. And the reason we do that is we want to make it hard to cast them. Well, if I just have to discard another card of the same color, I mean, this card costs five, but fine, on turn six, I can start dropping pretty large things. The funny thing about Dream Halls, by the way, is when Dream Halls was in... What was Dream Halls in? Urza's Legacy, I think? I think it's in Urza's Legacy. When it came out, there was a magazine called Inquest at the time that talked about... Like, we made Duelist. Inquest was a magazine made by somebody else. They picked Dream Halls as the worst card in Stronghold, which is hilarious. I remember when I read that, I'm like, okay, I don't know for sure whether it's broken, but, like, if this card is good, it is very good. But anyway, obviously, it was not the worst card, since it was obviously banned. Next up, it was Recurring Nightmare. Two and a black, it's an enchantment. You can take a creature in your hand. You have to sacrifice a creature and return this to your hand. And if you do, you may take any creature card in your graveyard and put it onto the battlefield. So this card was inspired by a card called Hell's Caretaker. Which was in Legends, and I love that card. I played that card in so many decks. So that was basically this card, though, as a creature, meaning you had to return the creature to your hand. You had to sack a creature and return the creature to your hand, I think, in order to return the creature from the graveyard. And I just loved that card, and I just wanted to make an enchantment version of it. And what could go wrong? Hell's Caretaker never caused any problems. The ability to sort of do it repeatedly and it being an enchantment and not a creature. Creatures are a lot easier to answer. Everybody has creature answers in their deck. Not everybody has enchantment removal, so it just became a little harder to deal with. This is another engine card for all intents and purposes. It allows you to turn one creature in play for a creature in your graveyard. Obviously, you're getting rid of very tiny little creatures and getting very big creatures, so the trades you are making are usually... and there's a lot of ways to get big things into your graveyard that you never cast in the first place. So you're getting things that you normally couldn't get into play, at least at the time you're getting it in play. And it was very powerful. Next is Earthcraft. Earthcraft is an enchantment. It costs one and a green. Lets you tap an untapped creature you control to untap target land. So this is another engine card. It allows you to turn untapped creatures into mana. That also... is very powerful. So this card was kind of inspired. One of the things we like to do sometimes with enchantments is turn everybody into a blank. And so this card turns everybody into a card called Laydruid. Laydruid was a card from Alpha. I think it's two and a green. I think it's a 1/1. You can tap it to untap a land. And the card has seen a little bit of play. I think I think one copy of Ladru was actually in Zach Dolan's deck of the very first World Championship deck in 1994. I'm not saying he should have played Ladru, but I believe it was in his deck. But anyway, it allows you to untap things like Library of Alexandria. That's why it was in his deck. Because you can untap any land. So anyway, Earthcraft was turn all your creatures into Ladruids. That is pretty powerful. And once again, it allows you to turn a resource that doesn't really cost you anything to generate mana to play things much faster than you could. So Dream Halls, Recurring Nightmare, and Earthcraft were all very much engine cards that all really let you cheat on mana in different ways. Okay, speaking of cheating on mana, next is Fluctuator. Fluctuator was it's an artifact that cost 2. It was also, I believe, in Urza's Legacy. And it says all cycling costs cost 2 less. Now, note, when we made cycling, cycling first appeared in Urza Saga block. In fact, cycling, Richard Garfield made cycling. He originally turned it in. We put it into Tempest design. Tempest was overstuffed. And so the two main mechanics in Urza Saga both were originally in Tempest design, which was Echo and cycling. Anyway, cycling, as Richard designed it, it allows you to spend mana, always 2 in Urza Saga, to take a card in your hand, discard it, to replace it with another card, draw a new card. And Richard made them all cost 2. We later brought cycling back. We've done cycling at other costs. But at the time, every single cycling cost in Urza Saga block cost 2. So when Fluctuator says 2 less, it really is saying all the cycling cards, at least that existed at the time, were free to cycle. That turned out to be very good. Mostly because once you got Fluctuator out, it allowed you to sort of go get exactly the kind, like, if you filled your deck with cycling cards and the cards you needed for your combo, the second I get Fluctuator out, I go immediately to my combo. Every single cycling card just cycles away, and it proved to be problematic. I can't remember. This card might have been an emergency ban. That's how bad it was. But anyway, it was definitely, we had to ban it. Next up, Lotus Petal. This is a card from Tempest. Basically, it costs 0, and you can tap and sack it, produce one color, one mana of any color. So the idea was, I knew Black Lotus was a problem. Black Lotus is 0 mana, tap for 3 mana of any one color. And I'm like, well, maybe we can make a fixed Lotus. What if it just sacked for 1 mana? And the funny thing about this is what Treasure does. Treasure is an artifact that you tap and sack for 1 mana. Lotus Petal, by the way, if we made it today, would probably be a treasure subtype. But apparently, when you get a treasure for free, when it doesn't cost anything, it is, in fact, quite problematic. So another example of fixing a card where the fixed version of the card is not as strong, not as broken as the card I'm fixing, but still broken. And that card, even today, sees a lot of play. Next, Memory Jar. Memory Jar is an artifact that costs 5. So you have to sack and tap it, and then each player discards their hand, draws 7 new cards, and then at the end of the turn, all the cards that they drew get discarded, and their old you exile your hand. Sorry, you exile your hand at the beginning, and you get your exiled hand back. So the idea essentially is you get to draw a new hand, kind of like Time Twister, but just for the turn. And I thought, like, Time Twister was fun. What if I just restrict you for the turn? What if, I gate you by the turn? And it turned out it was a neat idea. In fact, Impulsive Draw would kind of use some of this technology later on. But at the time, it was still too good. The reality was, if you had means to be able to play things, the ability to sort of just draw a new hand, even if the hand went away, just drawing it for the turn, very powerful. Okay, now we get to June of 1999. Banned in Standard was Mind Over Matter. 2 blue. That's 6 mana, 4 of which is blue. Allows you to discard a card to tap or untap an artifact, creature, or land. This is another engine card. It allows you to turn a card in your hand. It lets you get a resource of tapping or untapping something. Mostly it's land. Mostly it's mana. That's the number one reason you use... the other thing that went on at this time, by the way, is we are now in Urza Saga block. Urza Saga block had a card in it called Talarian Academy. So Talarian Academy is one of the cards that I did not put on my list because I was not primarily responsible for making it. I think Mike Elliott made it. But I will say the original Talarian Academy tapped for colorless mana. So my contribution to Talarian Academy, is realizing that we had five different lands in the set that we could color code. And so I said, oh, because I, Gaea's Cradle, Sarah's Sanctum, and Talarian Academy all tapped for colorless originally. I said, oh, well, artifacts could be blue, and enchantments could be white, and creatures could be green, and, you know, these other cards could be black and red. And so anyway, I made a Talarian Academy tap for blue, not colorless. Is it broken if it only taps for colorless? Yes. Is it more broken if it taps for blue? Yes. But anyway, I think the thing that pushed Minor Matter over the edge was the ability to discard a card to untap Talarian Academy, meaning one card gets turned into lots and lots of mana. Definitely was problematic. Also, with stuff like Dream Halls, you could get... Minor Matter is hard to play, right? Six mana, four of which is blue. But if I have Dream Halls, I can play it, even a deck that has a little less blue in it. But anyway, it's another... And then when I made this card, I liked Twiddle. Twiddle was a card in Alpha. And really, when I made the card, sometimes the most broken cards had the simplest and easiest of startings. I just, like... What if I could turn every card in my hand into Twiddle? What if every card in my hand was... Like, I turned every card in my hand into a split card. It could either be, you know, this or Twiddle. Now, note, I didn't make it cost blue. That was probably... If every card required you to spend mana and then do it, it's a little... I mean, probably still broken Talarian Academy, but we'll put some of that on Talarian Academy. But anyway... Mind Over Matter was broken. Next, June 1999... Banned in Urza Saga block, Voltaic Key. So Voltaic Key was an artifact, costs one to play, and then one and tap to untap an artifact. Basically, there's a card called Candelabra of Taunos, which was in Antiquities. Antiquities was my favorite set before I came to Wizards, and it allowed you to untap lands. Now that allowed you to untap. A bunch of lands. And then Jander's Saddlebag lets you untap artifacts, I believe. Like I said, I liked Lay Druid. I liked the idea of untapping things. And so I said, oh, what if I make a Lay Druid for artifacts? But it's an artifact rather than being, you know, it's an artifact that untaps artifacts. So it seemed like fun. The problem is, one of the things we also like to do at the time is make artifacts to produce more than one mana. Essentially what Voltaic Key is, it ended up becoming something that had a lot of utility, because untapping artifacts can be very powerful, can let you repeat artifact effects, but it also lets you sort of have mana, that if you had artifact sources of mana, it just gave you extra mana, especially, I mean, it costs one to tap, so they have to produce more than one mana to go up in mana. But we have, you know, Basalt Monoliths and things, and so... It just allows you to sort of generate mana in addition to its other utility, which is pretty good. Like I said, it's funny, like, both Lotus Petal and Voltaic Key are, like, just commons, just little tiny things that I thought had texture, that would be fun, you know. I didn't see them remotely as being dangerous. Now, be fair, I'm balancing cards, not my forte, but I did make them as things I thought were fun, not realizing quite how strong they were. Okay, next we get to August of 1999. Banned and extended, Yawgmoth's Bargain. So, Yawgmoth's Bargain. So there's a card in Ice Age called Necropotence. And Necropotence, you skip your draw step, and then it allows you to pay one mana to later in your turn, basically, get a card. You can pay one mana for one card. And so the idea essentially is you no longer get free draws, but you have the ability to turn life into draws, which is pretty, once again, an engine card, pretty powerful. I was trying to make a more fair Necropotence, a fixed Necropotence. And so the idea was there's a card called Greed from Early Magic where you spent two life to draw a card. And Greed never caused any problems. So I'm like, okay, what if I make a Necropotence, but instead of it costing one life to draw your card, it costs two life. And so I costed it black, 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 same as Necropotence. The one thing I did is Necropotence said this thing where it delayed you drawing the card, and that just felt like extra text to me. So I said, well, if I make you pay two life, maybe I can make Necropotence. It's two life per card, not one, but you can get the card right away. In development, they decided that they wanted, like, well, if Mark's going to make Necropotence, let's make a new Necropotence. Why do two life for one? So they changed it to one life for one card and then went up to six mana. Rather than black, 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 it now costs four black, black. Apparently getting to draw life for cards is really powerful. Whether it's Necropotence or Young Witch Bargain. There's an interesting question, which is more broken between Necropotence and Young Witch Bargain? I mean, Necropotence is cheaper, so it's faster to get out. But I don't know which is more broken. Once again, judging power level, not my thing. Anyway, as you can see, I just got to work. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I talked about 12 cards. Do you know how many banned cards I have? A little heads up here. I think I have over 170 banned, but a whole bunch of them are a swath of cards I'm not going to talk about. So I think I have like 90-ish cards to talk about. So this will be a multi-series set. Maybe not every. Maybe I'll go a little faster on some future ones. We'll see. But like I said, there's lots of fun stories here. And I thought this was, I mean, I'm always looking for content for my podcast. So hearing me talk about making banned cards seems like fun. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed part one. There'll be many more parts, but I am at work. So we all know that means instead of talking magic, it's time for me to make a magic. I'll see y'all next time. Bye-bye.